Little did the people know that this was no ordinary day. Something exciting was about to happen. A special visitor was coming to town. Some called him a prophet, others called him the son of David. Many people in Jerusalem heard stories of a man named Jesus and the miracles he had performed, like turning water into wine and raising a man from the dead. They were excited to see Jesus.
Now everyone had heard of Jesus, but they saw the crowds gathering, so they came out of their homes to see what was going on. The crowd told them about the lessons Jesus was teaching all across Galilee.
Jesus teaches the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. Jesus teaches the word of God in Jerusalem.
Now, Jesus didn't come alone. He had his disciples with him. Just before they reached Jerusalem, Jesus sent two disciples ahead to get a donkey for him to ride on. Jesus wanted to show the people that he was a humble man of peace. So the disciples got the donkey and brought it to Jesus. He sat on the back of the donkey and made his way down the streets of Jerusalem.
As Jesus made his way into Jerusalem, the people who lined the streets began to take off their cloaks. They laid them down on the ground in the path that Jesus would travel as a sign of respect for this man who they honored like a king.
And laid them down, laid them down, laid them down. People with their clothes and laid them down in Jerusalem.
Then some people cut branches from nearby palm trees and passed them out to everyone in the crowd. Everyone held their palm branches in the air and began to wave them to celebrate the arrival of Jesus.
I'm doing it.
swish, 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 swish. There are people to the bridges, swish, 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 in Jerusalem.
The people cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus had arrived. He had come to bring the message of peace and love that God wanted everyone to hear.
A day that started out just like any other day had ended in celebration with a triumphant entry of Jesus on the back of a donkey, and the people of Jerusalem celebrated this promise that they had been waiting for. Their king had finally come.
Ho, 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 Hosanna! Ho, ho, hallelujah! He saved me! I got joy in the Lord! Ho, 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 Hosanna! Ha, ha, hallelujah! He saved me! I got joy in the Lord! Ho, 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 Hosanna! Ha, ha, hallelujah! He saved me! I got joy in the Lord!
We continue with the order of service written in the bulletin, our confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. For his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for Palm Sunday is from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to those to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I know you always listen well to the scripture readings, but I want to emphasize this reading from Philippians chapter 2 is somewhat unique in a lectionary, a three-year lectionary. This epistle reading is always read for Palm Sunday, no matter if it's year A, B, or C readings. So this is a key epistle which we'll think about also in the sermon to help us understand Palm Sunday. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the verse. Speak the verse. We stand and speak the verse. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you want to follow along the gospel reading, you take the yellow insert and open up to the middle. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Now after those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, An angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes, and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The congregation may be seated.
O Jesus, King, most wonderful, O conqueror renowned, O source of peace ineffable, in whom all joys are found. When once you visit darkened hearts, then truth begins to
reflect on both the reading from Philippians chapter 2 and also the reading from John chapter 12. To begin, I reread verses 27 and 28 of John 12. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our salvation. Amen. As I mentioned before I read Philippians chapter 2, this passage from Philippians is the assigned reading for year A, B, and C for Palm Sunday. Now, many of you may know, but some don't, that we don't have to, it's not a law, but we tend to follow the assigned readings that we practice with our fellow LCMS churches, but that lectionary reading series is among other denominations too. Some differences, but a lot of similarities. And the practice is, generally, Your A reads from Matthew, your B reads from Mark, your C reads from Luke, and then John is kind of tucked in here and there, especially before Lent during Epiphany, thank you, and then also during Pentecost, season of Pentecost, those Gospels. And then the readings change so that one of the ideas is that much of the Scriptures are heard and read by the congregations every 3 years. I was assigned for the Bible study for our last pastor circuit meeting, and you have some options which you can do that when you are assigned to do that. And what I did, what some other pastors also do, is you look ahead a couple Sundays ahead and look at the assigned readings, and then give some thoughts, maybe some exegetical translation thoughts or interpretation thoughts, to help the other pastors prepare for their sermons coming up. Well, I did that for Palm Sunday, and that's where I noticed, I had not seen it before, that Philippians chapter 2 is for all 3 years. And the pastors that were at the meeting and I talked about this. Philippians 2, this passage is really critical. It's a really important part and well-used part in the history of Christian teaching and theology to understand in a quick and short way and precise way what Jesus has done for us. And if you notice there how it is Jesus, both his humiliation and his exaltation. And oftentimes in Lutheran catechism classes, you talk about Jesus' humiliation and exaltation, and oftentimes this passage from Philippians 2 is used. A couple of things from there. Jesus, it says, Paul says, did not grasp equality with God. Jesus was God. He is the Son of God. He was incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary, took on human flesh, both God and man. But that term grasp is a term that, the idea is that you have to hang on to it, guard it, you're jealous, you can't let it go at all. And what we see in the Philippians reading, in the readings from Isaiah 52 and 53, which we've been covering in the Wednesdays, and in other places in Scripture, is that Jesus willingly suffered. He willingly gave up his power and glory, showing it. I said that not very precisely. He did not give it up. He had it, but he did not use it. He did not always show it. At times, he walked in water, right? At times, one of my favorite parts of that miracle, he shouted at the wind to stop, and it stopped. At times, he told the demons to go. They went. At times, he asked prayers for this couple loaves of fish, couple loaves of bread and a few fish, and he fed 5,000 men, women, and children. And then again, 4,000 men, women, and children. There he showed his divine power and glory, but in somewhat really quiet ways. The disciples saw him transfigured on the mountain, three of the disciples, not all the crowds, three disciples. Saw him shining with his divine glory, standing there with Moses and Elijah. That's glory. Three people saw it. And Jesus said, and don't talk about this till the Son of Man is risen from the dead. So he had his power and his glory, but he did not use it or frequently show it. He laid it aside, or just did not use it. He knew very well, as we've recognized the last couple of Wednesdays, what he was going to have to go through. He quotes parts of the suffering servant song in Isaiah as referring to him. He is the one. He is going to have to suffer and die. And he is willing to die for sinners. And this was always the plan, Paul says, from the foundation of the world. Before Adam and Eve were even created, God knew, the Father knew, that his Son was going to be born of a woman and would have to suffer and die for these people that he haven't even created yet. It's a mystery. It's the teachings of the power of God, that he created all things, and also the mercy of God, that he would send his Son and plan to send his Son to redeem all things. So, I meant to bring it over. The happy face and the sad face. Palm Sunday is a time of joy, and it's also a time to realize that the Son is going to do his Father's will and is going to suffer and die. But then also, he will be raised from the dead and enthroned in heaven, which Revelation records. Palm Sunday is, if you're filling out the blanks, joyous and sad and looks towards victory. It's joyous and sad and looks towards victory. It's all wrapped up. All these things are happening. It's interesting how Jesus talks about being glorified and lifted up. What prompted those words and his teaching that would come like that? When the Greeks came and said, we would like to see Jesus. What is that saying, the Greeks are? Well, they were God-fearers. What does that mean? They were not fully integrated into the Old Testament faith by being probably not being circumcised, not following all the other laws, but they worshiped the true God. And there was a place for them in the temple court where the non-Jews could be and still praise God and celebrate the festival in their place. They weren't fully into the people of God, but they believed in the true God. They were recognized as God-fearers. That's these Greeks. So these Greeks, these God-fearers, non-Jews, had come to Jerusalem for the festival. And they would like to meet Jesus personally, face to face. And so they make this request, and the disciples pass on their request to Jesus. And then Jesus says these profound teachings. He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, right in that one sentence is all of Philippians 2 reading. Because what we see when he means glorified, he means obeying the Father. He means going to the cross. He means rising from the dead. He means being enthroned in power in heaven, as noted in Revelation. It's all there. The lifting up is being lifting up on the cross. And the crowds understood that. The crowds understood he was talking about dying on the cross. Glorified means on the cross. Glorified, that doesn't look from any human perspective, it's not glory, but it is, because it is the Father's will, planned from the foundation of the world to save humanity. And he would draw all people. So he says, draw people to myself, and it's the Greeks, the non-Jews, who wanted to see him. And he says, you're part of this too. I will draw you to me. Jesus says his soul is troubled, but he will do his Father's will. Glorify your name. Not my name, Father, your name. That is the Son's purpose. And God the Father, in the voice, I would think of the word, there might be better words, but God the Father affirms that he will do this through Jesus. That voice, the Father's voice, says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Yes, Jesus, my Son, this all will happen. And this is happening on Palm Sunday. Jesus says to the crowds who were confused, when they heard it, but they were confused, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Jesus knows he's going to do his Father's will, but it was a witness to all, to us. It's recorded here in John, that the Father's will was that the Son would go through the week, suffer and die in this way, to save sinners and rise again. So Jesus comes as king, and he is king. But he is the king that is going to do battle with evil, to carry our sins, to say it is finished, to rise on the next Sunday. It is a glorious day, but it's also a day looking at what Jesus is going to do. John says that Isaiah prophesied that the people just would not understand, would not believe, or if they did believe, they were afraid to admit it. He says, for the fear of the Pharisees, so that they would not be thrown out of the synagogue. Dear friends, as we go through Holy Week and the weeks following all our Christian life, this God calls us to do is to believe what Jesus has done for us, and that we aren't afraid of this truth and this salvation, but freely say, I am a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He has suffered, died, and risen for me. And no matter what happens in this life, he is King, and he is taking care of me, and he will take me to heaven, and he will come again one day. People can be sorrowful or timid or not really believe or whatever, and they don't confess that. But Jesus calls us to follow him, to know what he's done for us, and to follow him, and to confess it, because it's true, and I need his forgiveness. I need what he has done for me. And I know a lot of other people need him too. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving and bearing testimony to your Son that day when Jesus cried out to you and prayed, glorify your name. Thank you for planning from the beginning and even before the foundation of the world that you would save us and call us. We ask you to continue to build up our faith, to draw us to you through your holy word and to strengthen us and to also enable us to bear witness to others. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the offering hymn 442.
Glory, Lord, and honor to you, Redeemer King.
The congregation is invited to stand. We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pardon and renewal, that the blessed Son of God would lift up the gates of our hearts and be glorified as the Savior of sinners, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the preaching of the Holy Gospel and the administration of his sacraments would convert those who do not yet know Christ in every mission field around the world. That the Lord would bless and protect missionaries and their families, especially in hostile places. And that he would banish from us any prejudice that might hinder our mission work here or abroad. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all Christian fathers and mothers, that receiving Christ and trusting his atoning sacrifice, they may be enlivened to sacrificial love for their children. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in authority over us, that in the fulfillment of their duties, they may have the same mind as Christ, our King, who laid down his life for his people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who suffer illness and other weaknesses of body and mind, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Brad, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Mary, Sue, and Steve, Rick, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Helen, Michael, Ray, Ezekiel, and Pastor Shirey. That God would bless them according to his gracious will, and that they would have peace and comfort in his holy word. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For worthy reception of Christ's body and blood, that as he entered Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so we may receive him according to his promises for the forgiveness of our sins. And in the unity of a true confession, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son, not in wrath, but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, there life also might rise again. And that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing the closing hymn. You're invited to stand or sit. Ride on, Ride On in Majesty, 441.